Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the Stonebridge Church Podcast. Here at Stonebridge, our goal is to lead people into a real, healthy, and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to join us live, we hold services every Sunday at 9:30 and 11:05 at 1 Stonebridge Church Drive in the Woodlands, Texas. You can also stream our services online on our website, on our YouTube channel, and our church app. We invite you to check out our website at GoStonebridge.com and give us a like on Facebook at Facebook.com/GoStonebridge.
This week, Pastor Steve Bradley continues our series, Vertical Love. Now here's Pastor Steve.
All right, good morning. Now, one of the things that happens as you get older is you forget things. And I notice there's a wire hanging out here coming out of the back of my sweater, and so Joe's going to get my battery pack. So I've got a handheld battery pack to be able to talk to you until he brings that up. You know, we've been doing this series on love, and one of the things that I love about doing this series is that even as you get older, I didn't plan it this way, but even as you get older, you find out that things don't really change as far as feelings and love and emotions and all those things that we struggle with. In fact, they really are the same now in some ways, in a lot of ways, as they were way back when. And I know that really messes up your kids. My kids, you know, when they were old enough to sort of get into that teenage, starting to get into teenage years, to have the idea that mom and dad, you know, were actually in love at one time. And they were actually, you know, kind of, you know, I had all the feelings and everything. And here Joe is going to switch with me. Thank you, sir.
You ready already?
No. Now I'm wired, right? See, the miracle of technology, right? So, which is good. It helps us out a lot. But, you know, they get weirded out about it, right? They think, oh, gross, mom, dad, you know, because that's not the way they saw it. But you and I went through the exact same phases and the exact same things that they go through, even though the culture, you know, might have changed. We go through those things. That's why when you go back and you look at love songs, which is one of the reasons I love the series like this, is, you know, you go back and look at love songs, they all talk about the same things. They talk about being in love, the emotion of it, just how fired up you are. And that's this morning we're talking about, is love just a feeling? And of course, you would probably say it's not, but hang on for a second. You don't want to dismiss the feeling part of love, because it is a very important part. And the truth is, it's the part that we probably struggle with the most, the feeling part of love. Because of that, there are at least as many songs, maybe more songs, about the feeling part of love that goes what? Wrong, right? Remember the Righteous Brothers? In the 60s, the Righteous Brothers, two guys, they sang, they didn't play instruments, I don't think, or anything like that. One of them sang really, really, really high in a falsetto. And they had this song. You probably, even if you didn't grow up during this time, I didn't either, but you remember this song. It goes like this. You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. Oh, you know it. You sing it with me if you know it. And there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it. Oh, you know it. But baby, baby, I know it. You've lost that loving feeling. Whoa, that love. Get out your phones. No, I'm just kidding. You've lost that loving feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. Oh, y'all are good. I'm telling you. I mean, it's just like having backup. Yeah, y'all are great. If you don't know it, actually, the words are, whoever wrote the words were really, really good at picking out what we struggle with, because the very next verse says, you know, there's no welcome look in your eyes when I reach for you, and says this, and you're starting to criticize little things I do. Anybody know that feeling? Every couple goes through that. These are the struggles that we go through, because the emotional side of it, the feeling side of it, has somehow faded away. And let me help you again. Every couple goes through it. Every marriage goes through it. There are no exceptions, even though Joni and I were the same way that you probably were, you know, when you were younger. We decided, but we're going to be the what? The exception, right? We're never going to lose that part of it. We're never going to lose the Google eyes. We're never going to lose the, you know, the romantic vibe. And then kids came along. Oh my goodness, you know, changed everything. And so, and we've told our kids before when they would say like, you know, because every young child or every young couple does this. At some point in their relationship, they say this. They say, we are not going to become like our, yeah. We're not going to do that. We're not going to fall into that trap. We're not going to lose that part of it. Ours is different. You know, we're going to hold on to it. And every, you know, young singer coming up sings songs about that, and it's never going to be any different. And that's one of the reasons that when it happens, and it will happen, boy, there's like, what was going on? You know, what? How did it fall apart like this? Because it happens to everyone. Now, let me tell you, part of the secret or part of the trick of relationships is all of a sudden when, you know, when kids come and everything goes toward the kids and it takes the energy out of the relationship a lot of times, and you're spending your whole life and your resources trying to feed, clothe, educate, raise your children. And I love to say this about kids. And after you've done that and given everything to them, what do? They leave. Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness. You know, thanks. You know, and maybe one day they come back when they have kids and they go like, Mom, Dad, you know, we realize just, wow, how hard and how difficult. Can you help us? Because we have some questions and some things that we need to work on to try to, you know, put this back together or to make this, you know, work once again. Sure, absolutely, because that's what you go through. It's because the emotional side of love, the feeling side of love, cannot exist just by itself. I was reading an article in Psychology Today. It's written about 5 years ago. A counseling couple, they spend their time working with people, and so they've written it about this, and it's one of their subjects that they love to talk about and write about, which is what happens when you quote. They call it, because this is what they hear, you know, it's not that I don't love them anymore. It's just we've fallen. You know, you hear that word, right? We've fallen what? Out of love. We were in love, and we've fallen out of love. And this is one of the things. Now, this is a secular counseling couple. At least if they are, Christian or anything, they don't ever talk about it. So I'm assuming because all their material is written, you know, from that angle. Here's what they say. They say it's not love. It's infatuation that gets us in trouble. Because infatuation says, man, I'm just taken with this person. I'm just, you know, I can see nothing else but them. And inevitably, that wears off. It must wear off. Because at some point, you're going to see them as they really are. Not just from this, you know, pie in the sky infatuation thing, but you're going to see them as they really are. And as the old saying goes, warts and all. Yeah, you see the good parts, but you also see the difficult parts. And I'm not saying that you know, there aren't difficult parts and there aren't things that you want to ignore. I'm not saying that. But I am saying when it is love, when it really is love, and you're going to build real love in a relationship, you have to learn to look past those things, deal with those things. You have to be able to say, boy, that really hurt my feelings when you said there has to be an honesty between you. But at the same time, you've got to work past those things because you can't, I love to say this, you can't fix your mate. You can't fix the person you're in love with. You can't fix them to become what you want them to be. You have got to accept them as the person that they are. And I love the guy that wrote One Manager, and I can never remember his name. Somebody help me. Ken Blanchard. I use this one often. He said one time in an interview, he said, yeah, my wife said at 70-something years old, she said, I finally realize I'm not going to change him. Don't you love that? I'm not there yet, and I'm not sure I'm there yet, you know, totally, because, she says, I finally realized I'm not going to change him, so I have decided to love the lovable parts. It's a great word. It's because we all have lovable parts, and we all have parts that we wish it was not that way. So here's what I want to talk about this morning. How can you make sure that this emotional derailment in a relationship doesn't happen to you? How do you protect yourself, or what do you need to catch, to understand, and to deal with so that your relationship or your love is not just built on emotion, you know. It's built on more than just that, and it has to be built on more than just that. When we started this series, that was my premise that I told you, that agape love and love in the Bible, God's kind of love, is not the peak. That's what we're usually looking for, and that's why romantic love, this emotional peak, is so important to us, but you cannot live there. And this emotional peak is the most vulnerable of all loves. It's the most fragile of all loves. It can be lost the quickest. The foundational love that the Bible talks about, God's kind of love, we call it unconditional love. The Bible uses the word agape. The most common word for love is the word that it uses to describe that. This is the foundation of love. And that's the part that you have to go back and work on. Because if you don't build the other types of love on the foundation of love, then everything collapses. And it will collapse. And if you're struggling, you know, in a marriage relationship, you're struggling because you've got a whole, you know, little army of kids running around. You don't have any time. You know, you've got to go back to the foundation of love. Love is patient and love is kind. And you've got to work on that part of the love so that the other parts can be built back, especially when the time comes that it's just you two again. And you're looking at the other person and not so sure you're infatuated anymore, right? And you say, "Ooh, man, we've got to build something that's going to last here, something that goes beyond just some emotional feeling that I had." I know you think, wow, that's a long intro. Here we go. I'll jump into it, though. I'll put some points in here just to give you something to write down. Hopefully, I will stick to them, but you can probably already tell I may not. Here's what 1 Corinthians 13, Paul did write about this foundational love. He says, love is, and say it again with me, love is what? Patient, and love is, that's the foundation of it. You go back and you say, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to show kindness to the other person. And then he says this, and if you look at when people fall out of love, these are the types of things that they struggle with. Love is not jealous, but that's what they struggle with. Love is not boastful. It is not proud, and it's not rude. That's what they struggle with when they have lost the feeling of love. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. I love this one. It keeps no what? No record of wrongs, of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. And then this is the part we want. This is the part we love. But remember, this is what he's saying. This is how you get there. He says, love never gives up. Yes, man, that's what I want. I want a love like that. Love never loses faith. That would mean in the midst of things that don't look right or don't seem to be working the way you wanted them to, you're still in there. You're still hanging on. There's something stronger and more powerful that keeps you going than just your circumstances. He says, love is always, what is the word? Hopeful. Yeah. And he goes on to say, it endures through every circumstance. Every circumstance. It gets you through. It takes you through. It pushes you through. So let me give you a few things this morning. And I've got a few verses in here, but a lot of this is just sort of me talking from my own experience and what I've learned listening and watching other people who do a lot of work in this and see if you can relate to some of these things. Probably not, but we'll see if you can. Here's number one. Let's all acknowledge, or here's the fill in the blank. We want love. You better fill that in for me. There it goes, to take us somewhere, right? We want love to take us somewhere. In fact, we want to love to take us somewhere we've never been before. That's that emotional side of love. Not downplaying it. That we're all wired that way. There's something about us that says, yes, I want to go someplace that I've never been before in this feeling of love. Somewhere over the rainbow, right? Way up high. There's a land that I heard. Yeah, all the songs are there. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what we're longing for. That's what we're looking for love to take us to this place that we've never been before. Unfortunately, it's not just the emotional side that takes us there, but I don't want to downplay the emotional side because the emotional side is a taste of something. It's a feel of something that we are capable of. That is a possibility in our lives. Not that you can live there, but there's something there that is just yes. Now let me go also and say this. If you want to acknowledge that love is emotional, If love can take you there, love can also take you down here. It can. Because when you experience loss or you experience betrayal, the emotions can swing the other way. And the more powerful the emotions, the bigger the swing that is there. That's why I know this doesn't help in the midst of loss, but I still will say this. Don't wish that you didn't feel the pain that you feel, or the loss that you feel, or even the sense of betrayal that you feel. The reason you can feel that is because you can also feel the peaks, the heights also. They both go together. You cannot have one and then say, but I want a world where the other one, it doesn't come into play. It's not the, it's not possible, because those are the possibilities of the swings. If you love powerfully, that means you will also hurt at times just as powerfully. Like I said, you know, the kids will pack up and leave at some point. Does it hurt? Oh my goodness, it hurts. It's difficult. But at the same time, most of us understand, but there's something that we're drawn to even in that feeling. You ever watched a movie, a really, really sad movie, and you cry and you, okay, guys, I know you don't, but you know, if you're by yourself, you can, you know, you cry and it just grips you and you say, man, you know, that there's something there and you want to see it again and you think, what is wrong with me, right? Why would I want to see that again? Because it's part of the emotion that you and I carry with us, that we have. It's part of what we're, how we're made and how we are wired. And we're wired this way because God is this way. God has the swing of emotion also. Just go and look at the story when Jesus goes to face the cross. Jesus is in incredible agony. In fact, it describes Jesus' agony as if it becomes a physical thing to him. It is just that great, of course. But it's also because Jesus' love was so incredible and so powerful that it still caused him to go to the cross and to sacrifice himself for us. That's how great and that's how powerful his love was. That's why we love stories like that. That's why we love it when someone's love causes them to sacrifice and to experience hurt and pain because they love so deeply. Here's number two. There's a thing that I call emotional pileup. And this is when, as you go through life and you go through a relationship, you know, there's these things that happen that at first, because you are infatuated, you just overlook those things. But someone says something that hurts your feelings. The other person, you know, does something that kind of, and you don't say anything about it. And then after a while, those things just start piling up and piling up. And then finally, once you kind of get over the infatuation and, you know, and they can do no wrong, then you say something. And then, you know, depending on what you're like, maybe you really say something, because you go back and you do what we talked about. You remember all those things. You've got all those things cataloged. And so you bring all those things, you know, back out as part of the hurt and the struggle. And I think this is why it's important to go back to this idea of love and look at it one more time. Go to the verse that's there in Ephesians, I mean, 1 Corinthians. And here's what it says one more time. Love keeps no what? It doesn't mean that you don't remember. It should mean this. It means that you've already dealt with that. You've already gone to the other person and said, you know, that really hurt my feelings. Or I'm sorry that I said that. And this way, you can, it's not that you forget, but you've just taken it off the books of what someone owes you. And it goes on to say, it does not rejoice about injustice, right? When a bad things happen, but it rejoices when the truth wins out. This is the truth. If you can deal with it, if you can approach the other person that you love and not feel like the fact that I'm saying you hurt my feelings means we're no longer in love, but you realize, no, this is what love is actually all about. Through every circumstance, through every difficulty, we find a way to deal with it. I can express it and you know, and then we can reconcile it, take it off the record books, and move forward. Now, ladies, this is so important, because I know, you know, just, you know, from my wife and from counseling people and from my daughter, that ladies have this feeling that if he loved me, he would know even if I don't say anything. I know. I understand. And it's just because of the way we're built is so different. But guys are kind of like, duh. They are, you know. I will tell you that, I don't have to tell you that. My wife will tell you that, you know, that he's kind of duh sometimes. He just misses it. He doesn't realize that it hurt my feelings. Or sometimes what happens is he does realize it. Just because you didn't say anything, he thinks, well, maybe I shouldn't bring it up, right? Because let's not make it any worse, you know. So maybe, you know, it didn't really hurt her feelings. Maybe she just kind of let it go. You can't do that in a relationship. If it hurts, if it offends, if you struggle with it, it's always better to bring it out so that we can talk about it. We can find some way to resolve this, and then we can move on. And this is what happens, guys and gals. Listen, this is what happens. Now, all of a sudden, this thing that was dividing you, this thing that's in between, you have removed it. That's what you're trying to do. It's not that you can go back and you make some excuse and say, no, I didn't really say that, or that didn't really hurt my feelings. No, it did. And something needs to be, you know, apologized for a lot of times. And sometimes it's just sort of a wake up and a learning situation to realize, oh man, I didn't think about that. But the thing that has come in between you is the thing that must be dealt with. It's not the other person. That's what we feel like. It's the thing. It's just the other person doesn't see the thing or acknowledge the thing, or maybe has not been told about the thing that you still need to deal with so that you can take it out from being a barrier between the relationship, between the what? The love that should be there and that you know is there and you know you want to be there. And one day, you know, one day ahead, you wish was there because you wish that you had dealt with it. So it's an important thing to be able to look at those things and put them aside. Here's number three. Be careful of making major decisions. I always love to say this to people, based mainly on emotion. You know, if you're just making decisions on emotion, the problem is a week from now your emotions may change. And then you think, what in the world was I thinking? I remember I was reading one of those stories. My wife likes to pull up those channels that deal with people, you know, selling everything and just moving to another part of the world. And I can tell you that we were watching one last night, and a lady moved to another part of the world. She knows no one, and I had to walk out because it is so disturbing to me to think, oh my goodness, what have I done? And I didn't even do it. She did it. This lady did it. But I'm feeling what I think she's feeling. I'm going, like, oh, have I lost my mind? Why did I go in and quit my job? Why did I tell all of my friends, I'm gone, never see you again, goodbye? You know, that was just a dumb thing for me to do. But for some reason, she decided to do that. Hopefully, it works out for her. I'm glad it's her and not me. It means you better get wise counsel, right? You better have someone that you can go to and say, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what's kind of stirring inside of me. Can you help me with this? Someone, wise counsel means someone that has been there. Someone that knows more than you know. Someone who can look back and say, listen, I understand. I know what you're going through. I know what you're feeling. Someone who can help you wrestle with those emotions, wrestle with those feelings so that you won't miss, you know, what real love is all about. Here's number four. Take into account where the other person is emotionally. In fact, let me give you some verses here. This is what Hebrews 10:24 says. It says, let us think about what? Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds. That means you take into account the other person. I'm not only doing this for me, I'm trying to help you. Or look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, do not look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in who? Others also. Yeah, take an interest in them also. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, and let us run with endurance the race. That is this thing we're going through. Let us run with endurance. Don't quit. Don't give up. Run this race. It's a metaphor that he's using that is set before us. And then he says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter. That means the one who's taken it to the point of this is where it's supposed to arrive. This is what it's supposed to look like. The author and perfecter of faith, who for the what? Joy set before him endured the cross. That means you want to take into account the other person's feelings, because there's something ahead that if you will listen to their feelings and you'll look at them, just like it, look at Jesus and see what Jesus went through and how Jesus looked at our feelings and our situations. And so he rather than just giving up on us and saying, these guys betrayed me, these guys, you know, hurt me, Jesus instead, for the joy set before him, he goes through all the pain, the struggles, and the suffering. Yes, because he knows it will be worth it one day. There's something ahead that I'm shooting for, that I'm going after. We have a tendency in life to learn lessons and then somehow forget that we had to learn those lessons. We have a tendency in life to be, as parents, as adults sometimes, to look back at our kids and somehow think, since I have gone through life and I've gotten to this point, my kids should be able to jump to this point. They can't. They have to go through the same lessons that you and I went through. They have not learned those things yet. So you have to look back and understand where they are, where their feelings are, where their emotions are. You can't forget that there was a day when you were like this. And I know I've heard many adults say this. Well, I know one day I was like that. I don't want them to repeat my same what? And you know what I tell them? You can't stop it. They will repeat your same mistakes. They will go through the same things that you went through. Your job is to be there as they go through those things to say, okay, we will find a way through this. I know. I was there before too. I did some of the same things that you did. I thought in some of the same ways that you are thinking now. We will get through this. When your kids are hurt and they're in pain, not to somehow act like you shouldn't feel that way, but to understand, yeah, I know you feel that way, but your mom and dad still love you. There are people who still care. We will get through those things, and one day you'll get a chance to look back, hopefully, and say, and I'm actually better and stronger because I went through those things. Because now, when I have kids or there's someone that needs my counsel or advice, I can give it to them also. I love sports. I don't know about you, but you know, this is the time of a basketball, and also if you are an NBA fan, you know that Russell Westbrook has gone through a little bit of a struggle in the news because of an outburst on the court with a fan. And let me, in defense of basketball players, for all those who you know, if you weren't a basketball player, in defense of basketball players, it is just like any sport, it is intense. You are after it. It is emotional. You're giving it everything you can. And so you get tired emotionally and you get on edge. And sometimes, you know, fans at a game, if you're one of those fans there, sometimes what they say can really set you off because you just don't have enough reserve to hang on and not react. And Russell Westbrook reacted. He said some things that he got in trouble for, but that, you know, that happens. And I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying that, you know, like everybody, you know, you have your limits and there are things sometimes you can't handle. But this was the best part of it. I'm watching the NBA show. And if you've seen the NBA show, you know, where they sit up in this kind of semicircle. And if you know the NBA show, on this side, on the far left, there's a guy who played basketball at Auburn, and he played for the Rockets one time. And his nickname, you probably don't know this, was the Round Mound of Rebound. And does anybody know who I'm talking about? Charles Barkley, that's right. Charles Barkley's there. And Charles Barkley's on there because he is colorful. And he played, you know, at the top of his of basketball's game. And on the other end is this guy that's like 7'2". He is enormous. He smiles all the time. I mean, just nice. He sells Gold Bond on TV, if you've ever bought that. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Shaquille O'Neal, right? The Shaq is on there. So here's what happens. They're debating this thing. And Charles, because Charles loves to be the guy to give advice and help people out. Okay, we understand that. Charles is on this show, and Charles says this: Russell was wrong. He should never have done that. He's got to be more mature than that. You've got to let it go. You can't hang on to those things. And he is pretty, you know, in a nice way, condemning of Russell Westbrook. Shaq all of a sudden decides, I've heard enough. I'm not taking that. I'm not having anything to do with that. If you ever, did anybody see this episode? Oh my goodness, you missed it. Shaq says, hang on a minute. I remember when you were in that situation and you were arrested 4 times for assaulting a fan. And Shaq goes, no, I mean, yeah, oh yeah, and Shaq's not letting him off. It's just great. You know, no one planned this, and thank goodness they didn't bleep it out. It was so good. Shaq is smiling, which makes it worse. He's laughing. He's going, oh no, I remember when you were, and he said, okay, so I was arrested 4 times for assaulting a fan. And Shaq even mentioned that one time you threw one of them, a fan, through a plate glass window, which, you know, okay. And then Shaq remembers, he says, wait a minute, no, it was 6 times. It wasn't 4 times. And somebody else came up with, no, I think it was 8 times. And all. And so the great thing with Charles is he has to admit, yes, you're right. But this is what he says. This is what we do. He says, but I'm just saying now, I mean, where I am now, Russell shouldn't have, okay, right. But you know what? There was a time it wasn't the now. There was a time that you were where they were. You were going through the same things that they're going through now. And that means, if anything, you should be able to sympathize with them and say, listen, I understand. I know. Because that's the person that can help them get through it. Admit your mistake. Shouldn't have done it, you know, let it go too far. Let the people who deal with the fan, you know, deal with the fan. And they did. And if you don't know the story, the guy is permanently banned from that arena, you know, because he did. He took it way too far. He got emotionally all tied up into the game and the competition. Let them deal with it. You just learn to deal with your part, admit your mistakes where you are, learn and grow through it. Does that make sense? I think it does. It's not that Jesus had to learn and grow through things in the sense that he made mistakes. But if you look at Jesus' life, the Bible even says this about Jesus. I hope this wouldn't mess up your theology, that he grew in relationship or in the way he related to men and to God. Jesus on earth, because he takes on flesh and blood, he has to grow as a way of showing us that he grew. Jesus did not sin. He did not fail, but he had to learn and he had to grow. And you see Jesus doing these things and learning so that you and I would realize we can learn. You and I would realize, as I go through those things, guess who can lead me through those things? He can. He's been there. He's gone through the same things that you and I go through. Rather than, you know, us just giving up and quitting, you know, he's able to take us through those things. Okay, two more real quickly. Here we go. Number five is, love is not always a straight shot. I think that this is, it's like we have a goal and we say, that's my destination. That's great. But the problem is the destination is a long way off. And the way life works, the shortest distance is a straight line, but you're not going to get to go toward that destination in a straight line. You're not. It's not going to be a straight shot. There are going to be curves. There are going to be things that you didn't predict would happen. In fact, there are going to be some things that in your wildest imagination, you never thought you would find yourself in this predicament, in this situation. I'll remind you again, love endures through every circumstance, every curve, it takes you through those things. But that means this, because it's not a straight shot, that means you will constantly have to reevaluate, readjust, decide, am I going the right direction? Constantly you'll have to do that. That part never ends because you understand where you want to go. So when we take a curve, I say, okay, wait a minute, I need to readjust. You know, when you drive a car, this messed me up when I started, you know, driving a car. First time I got in and, you know, wasn't old enough yet to drive a car, but, you know, my dad decided to teach you how to drive a car. And, you know, you think, point the car down the road. It can't be that hard. And then they draw these lines in the road and just stay in between these lines. And the one thing is you learn to drive a car that you find out is what? You're constantly doing, because it's hard to stay between the lines at first. And then you kind of figure it out. And you realize it is a constant adjustment. and you make the adjustments eventually without even thinking about it. But you realize there are constant adjustments that have to be made to stand in the line. Joni and I, a couple weeks ago, we went downtown. We went to a show with some friends, and it was great. And we were coming back. My wife is the navigator usually, and I'm the driver. It's the control part of me. I want the wheel in my hands. And so we're coming back, and Waze, anybody use Waze? Waze says, don't come back 45. Go cut over to the 610 loop, cut over, find the toll road, and come back, which we'd come down the toll road, and it's 5 minutes faster. But we have to react pretty quickly because the loop was coming up, and me, because I know, you know, I decide, no, it's just simpler. It's a straight shot. I'm going to take the straight shot. It's 45. It will be the quickest way to get there. Waze doesn't know what they're talking about. Well, so let me go and tell you, they didn't know what they were talking about. It wasn't 5 minutes faster. It was an hour faster if we had gone. Yeah, right. And my wife always reminds me, listen to the navigator, because she told me, let's cut over and go this way. There was a major accident, and oh my goodness. And you know, and listen, I'm going to compliment my wife, because as we sat there, I know she could have told me, you know, I told you so. She only did that like six times. That was, you know, but she could have done it. It was an hour. So if she'd only done it like once every 5 minutes, that would have been a dozen times. So, you know, and I mean, I felt it without even being told that. What in the world? And you can't go back, right? You know, so you've made a mistake and you've got to go this way and you're going to have some patience and you endure it and you go through, but it constantly takes some readjustments. And then finally, love always involves, listen, this is always true. Love always involves a choice. It always involves a choice. And so those of us, you know, who've gone through life enough through the struggles, and I would say, this is what I always add, life always involves a choice, so trust God. Because if there's anyone who knows more than we know, it's God Himself. Here's what Jesus said, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, He made a choice. He gave His only begotten Son. He made this choice for a reason. So that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have a whole new idea of the direction of life, of where they're going and where they're headed. He says in verse 17, for God did not send His Son into the world to judge the world. This is a choice that God made. He didn't send, He could have, but He didn't send His Son in the world to judge the world, but the world might be what? Might be saved, might be rescued through Him. Peter writes in 2 Peter, the third chapter. It's a really great chapter. And near the end, Peter says this. He says something about the idea, the understanding that patience from God's perspective has a purpose. And the purpose of God's patience is the salvation, the rescue of men and women, because He loves them. And he wants them. He wants them near Him and close to Him. And His love for them means that He is patient with them through life because He wants them to catch it, to figure it out. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 1, then begins this chapter with these wonderful words, therefore let love be your highest goal, right? This kind of love, God's kind of love, a foundational love. Now, here's one of the reasons that people struggle with foundational love. The Bible says that God, He gives foundational love. He reaches out to everyone. The Bible says that God sends rain on the godly and the what? The ungodly. He sends the sunshine on the just and also on the who? The unjust. God, because God is patient and God is compassionate and God's love is who He is and He reaches out. It doesn't mean that God at some point will not judge, call things into account, and you and I have to answer for our own choices. No, that's absolutely true. But God's patience means that He does this. And this is one of the reasons people struggle. Let me explain this. They struggle because God's love, his agape, his unconditional, his foundational patience and kindness is extended to all people. But the person who does not trust God, does not believe God, just looks at that and says, no, that's not God. That's just the way things are. You're attributing that to a quality from God. I'm just telling you, it's the way things are. The rain falls. The rain doesn't care who it falls on. The sun shines. The sun doesn't shine or care who it shines on. Right. And so if you understand life and the world as there is no God, and there is not a God who cares, and there is not a God who loves, you might just excuse the things that God does, God's love for us, as just... You know why? Because it is so foundational. But here's what I would challenge you with. If you see it that way, then ask this question. Does that mean I can not act that way and still make it with love? Because if this is not God extending even to the person who doesn't know, doesn't care, reject, if this is not God extending his love to people, then that means that you could act any way you wanted to and it would be okay. And even a secular person should be able to acknowledge just from reasoning it out. If I don't act this way, if this is not a choice that I make, to love despite all the things that happen, then I will perish. There will be nothing worth hanging on to and holding on to. Even a secular person would acknowledge, nope, you still got to make a choice. You still have to do some things. I still have to decide how I'm going to act and how I'm going to treat other people. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you that your love extends to all of us. And it is an incredible kind of love. A love that without it, that kind of love, none of the other stuff makes sense. But with that kind of love, that patience and that kindness, we can figure out the emotional side of love, where it fits, And when it is thin, how to build a foundation that it can be built back upon. If you're here this morning, maybe you've somehow been convinced at some point just to excuse everything as it just happens. There's no rhyme or reason. But once you look at it and you recognize that a world, an existence, a universe without God, without his love, his compassion, his kindness, his patience, not really a world that I want to live in. In fact, it's not a world filled with any kind of hope and any kind of future. But God gives us a hope and a future. And because of him and because of his love, it gives hope to all the other relationships, all the other kinds of love. God sent his son Jesus Christ into this world so that you would not give up. You would not quit. You would not believe that there is no hope. But because of Jesus' life and because of Jesus' love for us, that it would change everything. So this morning, I challenge you to make a choice to believe and trust God. And if you don't, what else do you have to hope in? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.